Here to start, Revelation 3. Revelation chapter 3, go down to verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, thank you tonight for a chance to stand up and preach for a while. I appreciate what we got to hear already tonight. And it's a blessing to see that it's been a blessing to others to take part in your work. Lord, I pray that you'd encourage these folks, as well as many others, to labor and do more. We turn our hearts to this passage here tonight and pray you might be able to use it to encourage. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me turn your attention down to verse 18, where it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So here you have direct counsel from the Amen in verse 14, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Now, dispensationally, there's issues here with a future church, a tribulation church and all that. But it's also doctrinal for us here. We are in the frame of time. We are the Laodicean church. We live in the Laodicean age. I think that probably most everybody here acknowledges that, understands it, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with that. But notice again, verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. So, Jesus Christ, the Amen, the faithful witness speaking, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Don't let the buying of the gold throw you off too much. Let me take you to a couple of passages here real fast. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you know that we will face one day the judgment seat of Christ. And as we preached not long, but long back, the issue there will be in chapter 3, verse 12, where our work, our ministry, what we've done, what we've labored in, will be declared and shown to be gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Now again, this all begins with Jesus Christ saying, I counsel thee to buy of me, gold tried in a fire. One more passage. Look in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21. And I'm going to endeavor to explain what this buying of me involves. We know that salvation's a gift. We know that what we do by faith. So, how can we understand this buying of me, buying of the Lord, gold tried in the fire? I counsel thee to buy of me gold. Proverbs 27, go down to verse 21. Proverbs 27, 21. As the finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, gold is tried in a furnace of fire. It's a fiery trial. The gold is tried in a furnace, and so is a man to his praise. Now, this is what I come to with this. Any gold you wind up with at the judgment seat of Christ will have been purified in the furnace of the Lord's choosing. Okay? And it will have been bought, not with money. It will have been bought through the trials that God has given you that you're the author of. So it's not purchasing gold, but it is buying gold of the Lord in that He sets up the trial, He sets up the furnace, and has you go through some stuff in your work and your ministry and what you do for God, and that work, if it's gold, will endure that furnace at the judgment seat of Christ. But His admonition to the Laodiceans, and I do understand once again that, you know, there's a dispensational aspect to it, but I remind you, if we're the Laodicean church, then the verse has to apply to us too. So, you're counseled to buy gold of the Lord that He's tried in the fire. And so I'd like to talk about that for a little while tonight. No furnace is a fun place. The old song says, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. And so, if what we're talking about here is a furnace that we're tried in or tried through, we know it's not going to be a playhouse. But there's also something to be said that we may have misconceptions, preconceptions, us, about what the furnace might be. For instance, I'll say this. Think about the fact that here your Bible is, you have a New Testament. The New Testament was closed in its writing roughly around 90 AD or so. Okay? So, any history that's written in anything that happened in history that was written in the New Testament, all happened, all of it. I know there's prophecy that hasn't happened yet, but anything historic that was anticipated and happened in the Bible happened within 60 years of the crucifixion. Well, here we are up past 2,000 years. And yeah, the Laodicean church that was in Asia Minor, yeah, they had some trials to go through. That there was in history, there were some things they went through. That's true. But we're counseled to buy of the Lord gold tried in the fire for us Laodiceans. And here it is, 2015. So we got to figure out a way this works for us. I got looking at this thing, and the Lord said, I'm going to take you and I'm counseling you to buy gold tried in the fire. Gold of me that's been tried in the fire. It made me start thinking about some of the furnaces that God has. And there's a couple of things that come readily to mind. But I'd like to talk to you tonight about gold tried in the fire. I am laboring to be quick here for obvious purposes here tonight. But I know the first thing that probably comes to your mind when you think of the Laodicean church or the Philadelphia church, or any of the apostolic churches, the first thing you've got to think of is the furnace of trials and afflictions, right? I mean, those people lived in the day when they were the mortal enemies of Rome. Rome recognized them as being a danger. There were the 10 official Roman persecutions and a whole bunch of other non-official persecutions. Those guys faced trials and tribulations, there can be no question. He said, well, I counsel you to buy gold tried in the fire. Gold tried in one of the Lord's furnaces. Well, one of the furnaces you'll go through is trials and afflictions. That much is true. We see that in the three Hebrew children cast into the fire. They abode the furnace and thank God for it. And the bottom line is that everybody here has already faced a few furnaces. Trials, troubles. Talking about your health, talking about money, talking about marriage, talking about kids and all those things. And I'm not just going to skip over that because those things are legitimate. But there are days that you wake up and you don't feel like getting up and you don't feel like going on. And you're not quite sure what's going on, but your heart is broken for one reason or other. The things that you've seen, the things that you've heard, the things that you've experienced make you not want to go on because you're going through a furnace of fire, of trial and tribulation. Okay, fine, good, I understand that. But you need to be reminded that your faith and your work and what you're doing for the Lord was promised. It was promised that that thing would go through the furnace, that it would go through some fire. And I would remind you that just as you are not exempt from the sweet promises that come, knowing that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that the Lord's love is eternal and you're not going to be cast out. I will in no wise cast you out. I mean, the sweet promises that you take and cling to because you need God and they're sweet to your ears, I would remind you that the reason those promises exist is for the hour that you're promised to go through a fiery trial and a fiery tribulation, and the Lord takes you and your work and your ministry and moves it through a fiery trial. And your gold there is tried. That's the kind of gold the Lord's looking for. Gold that's tried. Now again, I know we look back on the apostolic churches and they went through stuff that none of us has ever seen or comprehended. I mean, when you consider what they went through as far as the tortures, the torment, the expulsion from lands, being run out and hunted down, the Waldensians, the Albigenses, all those folks, none of us have experienced any of those things. And yet, you are still counseled to buy gold of God, tried in the fire. So we have to deal with these furnaces, and yep, you're going to go through something. You're going to go through some trial. You're going to go through some tribulation. There is going to be trouble. There's going to be hours that you don't sleep. There will probably be nights on end that you don't sleep. Yes, there is that. But I don't think that that's all that there is. Compared to those people, our trials are almost nothing. So let me take you through the possibility of a few other trials. That is, a few other furnaces. How about not only the furnace of trial and tribulation, how about the furnace of tranquility and prosperity? After all, you have a verse here in Revelation chapter 3. If you'll go back to verse 17, notice what the Laodiceans are saying. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So we're rich, we're increased with goods. Does that not describe where you live? Now, you may not be real rich compared to the average American, but you're real rich compared to the average Kenyan. You know what I'm saying? Well, folks, my point is here that maybe that furnace, I mean, one of the things the Lord was trying this church in, among other things, was a furnace of prosperity, a furnace of tranquility. We have lived in our country without any wars on this land, except for a terroristic attack or two, okay, that you could call that a war, but we've not had a war on this ground for well over 100 years. Most countries can never say that. For the most part, what we have gone through in our country, yes, we have personal problems, personal trials, mainly what we have lived through, if it's a furnace, is a furnace of prosperity, the furnace of tranquility. And it's no secret that certain things wane when things are going really well. You don't pray as well in your bedroom as you do at the hospital. You just don't pray as well in your car or at your chair side as you do at a funeral home. You just don't. It's the way things go. And did you ever stop to think about the fact that maybe the tranquility and the prosperity that we enjoy as American Laodicean Christians, as exceptional as we try to be, that that prosperity, that tranquility, is a furnace itself? He said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in a fire. Now, we usually don't think of prosperity and tranquility as any fire. But what you do in your prosperity and your tranquility will wind up at the judgment seat of Christ. And it will wind up either gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. Let me show you a guy in the Bible real fast. Look in 2 Chronicles 14. Now, you may remember this. This guy is stuck in my mind. And I bring him up fairly often, I think. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Asa follows his father to the throne of Israel after Ahijah slept with his fathers. And notice verse 2 of chapter 14, 2 Chronicles. And Asa did that which is right and good, or good and right, in the eyes of the Lord his God. Okay, so he starts, gets a right start. I'm glad. That's good. Look down in chapter 14, verse 11. You may be aware that there came an hour and there came a day that a million Ethiopians marched upon him to war, and they weren't quite sure what to do. But verse 10 of chapter 14, then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest in thee. And verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. I mean, they defeated that day by the help of God a million footmen and then 300 chariots. It was quite a victory. Well, he gets back to town. He gets back from his battle. And notice, if you will, chapter 15, and go down to verse 2. He's met there by a prophet. And he went out and met Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you, while ye be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So there's a little warning there. So anyway, down in verse 8, Asa takes courage. In verse 9, it specifies that the Lord his God was with Asa. And then in verse 10, it says something very interesting. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. So it's the 15th year. And you know, folks, the Lord gave Asa rest. The Lord gave Asa tranquility in his kingdom. The Lord gave Asa prosperity in his kingdom from the 15th year all the way down in verse 19, chapter 15, verse 19. There was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And the 35th year of the reign of Asa, actually the 6th and 30th year, in verse 1 of chapter 16, Baasha, king of Israel, came against him. And so Asa takes the gold and the silver from the house of the Lord and goes and buys off a guy named Ben-Hadad in verse 2, the king of Syria, to come back and help him. And I mean, folks, that made the Lord mad, because here is a man that had trusted God against an army of a million people. All those years ago, 20 years ago, and God gave him peace and God gave him rest and God gave him tranquility and prosperity for 20 years. And the 36th year, this guy comes up against him and he sells out. He goes and buys a mercenary army from another king to help him out. And in verse 7, 16:7, at that time, Hanani the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Labims a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Ladies and gentlemen, there was 20 years of peace and prosperity. Asa's trial, Asa's furnace, was peace and tranquility. I got a question for you. You're an American just like me. I'm not going to apologize for the stuff that I own, for the food that I enjoy, for the peace that the Lord has blessed us with. My family gets to go to bed for the most part in peace every night without worries of somebody kicking the door in and coming and killing us. I'm not going to apologize for that. That's the blessing of God. But I tell you what's important. It's important that my gold come through this furnace of prosperity and tranquility, the right kind of gold. So you've had it good. You have money to spend. You have more food than you can eat at home. You have more clothes than you can wear in a week at home. My question for you is, are you buying gold? Are you buying gold from God in this furnace of tranquility and prosperity? I have another thing to bring up to you. How about the furnace of silence? Here is Israel, and Israel all through the Old Testament had periods of silence. Their prophets would speak to them. And then if you go read, Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel, so often the Lord would raise up an enemy to come against them because they would depart in their hearts from God. And then the Lord would put them in bondage for a while, then He would raise them up a Savior. That Savior would come up and deliver them, and for, 30 or 40 years, they would do real good until that guy died, and even in the same generation, they would then backslide. But they would hear these prophets speak. They would hear them speak often. In spite of the fact that they spoke often, many times they would backslide. Hearing the voice of those prophets every day. There finally came a day after they had departed from God that there was a 400-year silence that occurred. It happened between Malachi and the book of Matthew. So for 400 years, an unprecedented amount of time for those Jews, they did not hear the voice of their prophets. And then after they did hear the voice of the prophets, they killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they have not heard the voice of the prophets for 2,000 years. They never did very well, even when they were hearing the voice of the prophets. They certainly have not done well not hearing the voice of the prophets. But here you stand. You're a Gentile and you're saved. And nobody's spoken anything anew for 2,000 years. In that respect, it's been silent. Now, it's not been fully silent because we still hear. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the Lord spoke to those people every day. Every day Moses and Aaron would come out in that wilderness and speak and speak and speak. And so often they backslid anyway. So finally the Lord gave them a 400-year silence. And now He's given them an over 2,000-year silence. And they haven't done well, have they? My point is, folks, here we are, and we walk by faith and not by sight. We have not heard any new prophecy since the Bible was written. In that period of silence, every single heresy that you could ever imagine has been dreamt up. Boy, the scholars and the liberals have taken their toll on the Bible. They have now rejected just about every passage of the Bible because God has not spoken for 2,000 years. To them, that silence is ominous. To them, that silence means that God must be dead, it must be over, and we can do anything we want to with this Bible. You know enough promises about the Bible to know how that's going to end up. My question for you is, we live in a furnace of silence. You haven't heard God speak something new since the Bible was written. Have you? Are you buying gold? Are you buying gold? Is the Bible real for you? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not silent to me because I listen to it speak every morning. But it's a 2,000-year-old book at least, and then parts of it are 3,500 years old. But are you buying gold in the silence? Are you buying gold in the furnace of silence? I have another thing for you to think about. How about the furnace of longevity? The furnace of longevity. Very seldom has faithfulness and fidelity with the Lord lasted a single generation. Those people, again, in the Old Testament, heard the Lord speak sometimes regularly by their prophets, daily, weekly, monthly. And very seldom, in spite of the fact that they heard those very words in their ears, did their faithfulness to God last even in, not just into the next generation, but very seldom did it even last in their own generation. Well, again, here we are. We have not heard God speak anything new for 2,000 years. We see folks drop off and fall out of the race all the time. The Lord's asked you to stand by His book and to stand by what has been written for a long time until you end your life or until He calls us out of here. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing in the furnace of longevity? You know, sometimes you get the impression talking to folks, they intend to quit at the first reasonable, convenient moment. That the next trial is somehow going to... I don't ever want to quit. Do you? How about the... How are you doing in the furnace of longevity? He said, listen, you better buy of me gold tried in a fire. And one of the fires that we see is that this thing bleeds on into weeks, into months, into years, and it just keeps going on. I never thought that I would see all my kids grown. I never thought that I was going to see grandkids. Jesus was coming back. Everybody was saying so. I'm sure glad that I prepared some gold for the long haul instead of just counting on the fact that Jesus was coming back in 89 so I can just do whatever I want to because I got to get it all in between now and then. Because it just didn't work out at all. Have you bought gold from the furnace of longevity? Because you're going to have to buy that of God. He's going to ask you to go for a long time, perhaps, before all this thing wraps up. You may have another 30 or 50 years, God forbids. You willing to go 50 years? I hate to even say it, but are you willing to go 50 more years? And if you say, oh, I don't know if I can, well, you've already got one foot in the grave. It's true. If you have a pet date that you're playing with that must be your jump-off point for the rapture, what if it doesn't happen that day? If you're not careful, you got one foot in the grave. You better buy some gold from the Lord that's been burnt in the fires of longevity because you're going to need it. I don't know how much longer. I hope it's tonight. But you may need the furnace of longevity. I did. I have. How about the furnace of barrenness? The furnace of fruitlessness. You know, Sarai, didn't handle her barren womb very well. By the time it's all over with, she convinced Abraham that he should go into Hagar, and he did, and all that mess happened, right? She did not respond very well to barrenness. Now, we live in a day here today, and I know you hear various things and all that, but I have preached on the street for all these 20-something years now, and plus, actually, and ministered to folks for all these 20-something years, and I know that we live in a day that is barren compared to the days that you read about in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. It's not like that anymore. It's barren if you compare with the Great Awakening. It's barren. We go months at a time without seeing somebody saved. And it's not because we're not trying. It's not because we've sold out to liberalism and brought in the rock band. It's because it's a different day and age that you live in. So my question for you is, given that this is what we have to work with, given that this is a day of gleanings, at least in our country, given that this is a day where men's hearts are hard and you're going to have to work and pray and fast and labor for a long time to see things happen, is that not what we have? If it is what we have, then I have to tell you, have you bought gold in the furnace of barrenness and fruitfulness? Have you bought gold from the Lord? Are you willing to go through days and months of doing right without seeing results? The Lord said, I'm going to put you through that and you're going to have to go through it. If you go through it, you're going to have earned from me gold, burnt in the fire, tried in the furnace of barrenness, of relative fruitlessness, of monotony, day in, day out, things drag on. And once again, we go to the street today, and once again, nobody got saved. Now, somebody got under conviction. Somebody almost got saved, but they didn't come flowing in like they did in Moody's day. Are you willing to go through the fruit of barrenness? Have you bought gold? I mean, are you still laboring in spite of the fact that the day is barren compared to other days? How about the furnace of solitude? How about the furnace of us not being popular? the furnace of being called ugly names because you're a Bible believer, because you're a Ruckmanite, and because you're a this, and because you're a that, and you're negative, and you're critical, and you're hateful, and all of this kind of stuff that you are. The furnace of solitude where you're trying to stand by the book and stand by the stuff. And the Lord said, I'm going to leave you alone for a while. I'm going to leave you like John the Baptist for those 30 years in the wilderness. I'm going to leave you like I left Moses for 40 years, where I was with him, but for 40 years he stayed out there before I spoke to him. Have you bought gold of the Lord from the furnace of solitude? Are you willing to stay small, if that's what it means? Are you willing to stand alone, if that's what it means? If you can find a brother or a sister or a group like this to stand with you, good. But what if it means standing alone? What if it means standing alone, unpopular, with your family and with your friends and your schoolmates? And when the time comes that there is an anniversary for your graduation, when that comes around and you're the only one like you of all the people that you graduated with, are you willing to buy gold tried in the fire of solitude, of unpopularity? I have one last thing, then I promise I'm done. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Done pretty good. It's only been 25 minutes long so far. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Notice, somebody has to endure sound doctrine. It's a trial to listen to sound doctrine all the time. Guys always yelling at me. Guys always bringing up how sorry, what kind of a low life I am. He's rebuking me all the time. We hear it all the time from the pulpit. He is so negative. In fact, when you read the Bible, it is so negative. The time will come. Hey, the time is here. They will not endure sound doctrine. You go to the average. I told my wife, I said, man, I'm not trying to say that I would delight to go in and kick things over. But I know that if I ever stood up for 6 straight weeks at the little church that I came out of and at Direct, Texas, where we were here a couple weeks ago, that thing would be blasted apart within 6 weeks. Because they have been so isolated from anything sound for so long, I don't even think they would know what to do with it. Well, the average monster church that you see, they know nothing of sound doctrine. And once in a while you hear somebody here who starts grumping and is preparing to make tracks because they're tired of being yelled at, because they're tired of hearing the negative stuff, because they're tired of hearing stuff against the world and against this and against that. You're just against everything. You just hate everything. No, I don't. And no, you don't. But the Bible says there will come a day they will not endure sound doctrine. So I'll ask you, how about the furnace of sound doctrine? Are you willing to listen to sound doctrine even when it's against you and even when it hurts your feelings and even when it makes you mad? Because, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord said, I counsel thee, I the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Will you have gold at the judgment seat of Christ that comes from enduring sound doctrine? Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for allowing us the treasure that you have here amongst ourselves and in our church. We know that we're not the only one. We don't have an Elijah complex. But Father, we thank you for what you've allowed us to kind of hack out of the wilderness here. And we're glad that the light shines here bright, and that we're able to come here near the warmth of this fire and enjoy the fellowship of God's Son and God's Spirit in our midst. We are glad to have a Bible that's true and a Savior that's right, and we're glad to know the truth. And Father, it's been a labor for all of us to get there. And it will stay a labor for a long time. There are likely many furnaces ahead, and some of those furnaces will be furnaces of trials and tribulations and trouble. Many tears to be shed, I'm sure. But Father, some of those furnaces are also not along that line. We've discussed some of those furnaces here tonight. I pray, Father, You'd help us to come out of this age of peace and tranquility and prosperity with gold that has been bought from You, because we have labored in the midst of our prosperity to do what was right and to have still the right kind of gold, although it would be so easy to let up. I pray, Father, You'd deal with our hearts along these lines, and please deal with our hearts even now. Now, let me give you a moment to contemplate what we've said here tonight. Maybe the Lord dealt with you about maybe a commitment going to Eastern Europe next year or something like that. Maybe you need to come and finalize some of that before the Lord. I hope the Lord dealt with you about some things, with the kind of furnace that you're going through. Not all the furnaces in the Bible that try the gold are furnaces that burn with blue heat and sear your hair from 100 feet. Some of them are like the ones that we talked about here tonight. And I'll ask you, are you buying gold? Because the Lord said, you better buy gold from Me. Are you buying gold? Father, we thank You for giving us a good day, a good evening here tonight. We appreciate what's happened on visitation these last few weeks, what we've got to accomplish this summer. We know that there are health issues that folks are facing right now. We pray that You'd bless those things. Babies being born, we know that there are families going through trials that we have not spoken of. So I'm asking You tonight, Father, help us stay true. Thank You for being good to us. Thank You for speaking to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everybody. Good night. Appreciate you being here today. It's a good day. Pray for those two guys that came. I forgot to mention their names to you. One guy's name is Edward. Sat back where Marine's sitting tonight, this morning. Not real sure that he's saved, but he has been reading the Bible, and he knows the Catholic Church isn't right. And so I'm not sure he's saved, but I'm not sure about his girlfriend named Tina. But pray for them. Also pray for a guy named Daniel that's set back behind where Andrew's sitting here this morning. And he came to me. He was asking if I might consider talking to he and his girlfriend who need to get married. And they're trying to get some things squared away. And he was very sincere. And he is saved. So if you'd pray for those two folks, I'd much appreciate it. All right, we're dismissed. Thanks for coming tonight.